going to learn about a few men, 70 in fact, that God used in a mighty way. And there's a really important message here, one that's been big in my life. And I think if our teens will focus and pay attention to this, this will help them. Really feathers well with what we're doing tonight. But it's not just for the teens. There's some adults here that can really use this as well. You'll know what I mean in just a second. So let's look at chapter 10. Before I do that, what's going on here is Jesus has, I'll say more about this later, but Jesus has sent 70 disciples away. So this is not the 12. This is 70 just followers, just average followers of Christ that he has sent two by two to certain cities to prepare the way. And there's a lot that can be said about that. But he gave them special power here, special ability to heal the sick and cast out demons and give the word, and they're preparing the way for Jesus to come and spread the gospel to these places, okay? And so they do that. They get out there and they're doing it. They do the work. They've healed people. They've cast out demons. And now they're coming back to Jesus. And they've just done what he told them to do. They were just used by God in a special way. And now in verse 17, they come back. And it says this, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." They're excited about this. Verse 18, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." But verse 20, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So the title tonight is this, Your True Value. Your True Value. Let's pray. We'll get into it tonight. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage. Thank you, Lord, for how it's already worked in my heart. And God, I trust that you'll use it in the hearts of your people tonight. Could you help me as I preach? Help me to deliver your word in a way that's understandable and easy to, Lord, hear. And I pray that you would work in hearts and help them to see what you want them to see today. In Christ's name I pray, amen, amen. You may be seated. So isn't it true that our world often identifies us by what we do?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, whenever you first meet somebody, one of the very first things that you ask is what? What do you do, right? That's one of the very first things. And the reason we do that is because part of our society is geared, is wired to value people, to identify people by the things that they do. The things that they do. It's a big deal to us. People are often known by what they do. You've got the guy who's good at basketball. We're seeing which teenagers I have. Yeah, good at basketball. You got the nerd who's always in the books studying. You've got the gamer who knows more about the virtual world than the real world. Mm-hmm. And they're known by what they do. Primarily, really, if you really stop and think about it, that happens. Our world often finds value in what we're able to accomplish. That's how our world thinks. That's why you try to win the championship. The Giants aren't going to do that this year. And it's very sad. I know. But neither will the Raiders. And so, I don't know. Yeah, okay. That's why you try to make honor roll, right? Are the choir mics on? Okay, maybe I'm just over my ears. That's why you try to make honor roll, right? You get good grades, and so you have a good GPA, so you can make honor roll, and so that people will notice you. And listen, colleges will notice you. Why? Because of what you do. That's why games have levels. When you do accomplish things in video games, do they mean anything? No. But there are accomplishments. And that's what they're all about. That's what they're built for. And it's funny because people who are gamers think that they're just doing their own thing, but really they're kind of at the whim of that video game designer, kind of getting like a little rat in a maze, pushing them around. Hey, get this level, then that level. You should go over here. Don't do that. Do this. And so they have this. And it's all about this. It's all the same. sports and grades and video games, it comes down to this. You want to accomplish something. Because here's the idea that if I accomplish this, now I have value. Are you following? If I accomplish this, now I have value. And if you don't accomplish whatever it is that our society or your friends or whoever's above you decides, if you accomplish this, you have value. And if you don't accomplish this, in their eyes, you do not have value. This is how our world works. And I mean, there's some benefits to that, and we're not going to really deal with that today. But here's the thing, is if we're not careful, then we can bring that mindset into Christianity, can't we? And that's what happened with these 70. These 70 that God called. Remember I told you that these were not just like these were not the 12 apostles. These were not people who've been following God for very long. Probably these guys have been following Christ for days, weeks at the most. They don't really know a lot, but Jesus has called them and Jesus has commissioned them and Jesus has empowered them. And Jesus says, you 70, even though you don't have a lot to offer, I'm going to give you this power. I'm going to give you this ability. And I want you to go to these cities and I want you to heal people. I want you to cast out demons. I want you to give the gospel. I want you to expound on the scriptures and show them the Messiah is here. These are all pretty heavy things that they're doing. And when they left, just two by two, just hit you and your, you can imagine being one of these guys, you and your buddy, you go, maybe not even your buddy, some random other guy, and Jesus has sent you to this city. Probably you were just a carpenter or a fisherman, and no one really cared what you had to say, but here you are in a new city, and Jesus has given you this ability to just get up and give the gospel. And in the beginning, I'm sure they felt really, really inadequate, right? Like, I cannot do this. And if they can do this, they understand it, right? That it's God who did this. I'm able to be in this city. I'm able to give the gospel. And it's because Jesus has given me the ability. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to give you this ability. And that's what was truly happening. The only way they were able to do these things is because Jesus gave them their ability. And then they started to heal people. And people would come out of the woodworks. And they didn't have hospitals back then. So, you know, it was scattered all over the place. And they would come up to these guys hearing that they might be able to heal them. Some of these people blind from birth, and now they have an opportunity, or lame from birth. Can you imagine being one of these two people, and this guy comes up, and you're able to heal him, and he can see now. He's never been able to see, and God used you to make him see. It's pretty incredible. And then cast out a demon. I don't even want to picture that. But it was real. Demon possession is a real thing, and it was very prevalent in Israel, And God used these normal people to go out and do this. And if you can imagine being these people, the first time you're feeling very timid, but then you do it. You know, and you have faith, or else they wouldn't be able to do it at all. But there's still that level of insecurity, that level of nervousness. Like, am I really going to be able to do this? And then God helps them do it. And they heal a person, and they heal a person, and they cast out a demon, and they give the gospel, and they're expounding scriptures, and they're doing all this. And along the way, what happens is they probably begin to build confidence, right? Oh, man, I'm doing it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's how it works in Christianity, isn't it? That when you get saved, you know, you don't feel adequate. You know that God saved you, and you know God wants to use you, but you don't feel like you can do anything like this. And teenagers getting up here and playing the piano and singing and reading missions updates and doing all these things, and you don't feel adequate. We have Ava giving an instrumental. Everyone look at her awkwardly. She loves that. And so, listen, when you get up here and you start, you feel like, I can't do this, but I know God wants to use me, but I don't know if I can do this. But then when you do it, God begins to build confidence in you. And God does that. This isn't a bad thing right here. God builds confidence in you. The first couple of sermons you preached, first couple of sermons I preached, were not very good, and I knew it. But as I continued, God continued to work and give, and he develops you as a preacher, develops you as a musician, develops you as whatever God has called you to do. God uses you, and he builds confidence in you, and that's what's happening with these guys. And they're feeling confident. Well, something changed in verse 17. They weren't just confident anymore. Look at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. Now, that doesn't just mean like the fruit of the Spirit joy. This is talking about, and the reason I know this is because of the context, this is talking about the kind of fulfillment that gives you strength. Can we say it like this? They're finding their value. They're finding their worth. They're finding their joy. They're finding their strength in this fact that I have done some awesome things. This is cool. Well, what do you mean? Well, look, they return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subjected to us through thy name. I just kind of made the emphasis there. But they're pretty excited about this. And they're coming up to Jesus, and the Bible says they found their joy. Here's what that means. Whenever you find your value in what you do, here's what that looks like. When you're able to accomplish things that you feel are important, you feel good, you feel energized, you feel strengthened, you feel confident because you're doing the stuff that, listen, you feel is important for you to earn value and be important. And then, whenever it doesn't maybe go your way, maybe you don't do as good of a job as you have placed on yourself to need to do to earn value, then you feel not valuable. You see? And you feel not important. And you feel down. And you feel discouraged. You might even feel downright depressed because I didn't accomplish this, and now I feel unvaluable and depressed. Because why? The only reason that would be is because you have placed your value, you have placed your importance, you have placed your identity in what you're able to accomplish. And if you can't accomplish it, then you've lost the joy, you see. So they've come with joy, saying, here's why they have joy. Here's where they find their inner strength. Even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Can you imagine them being so excited? They're like, come back from their thing. And like, yeah, we're so awesome. I can't wait to tell Jesus. And they come to Jesus. They're like, Jesus, you won't believe it. Like he didn't know. Jesus, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. I love what Jesus says. I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. We're talking about one up, right? Oh, yeah. We devils, listen to us. Jesus, I beheld as Satan himself fell from heaven like lightning. I was there, you know? And he did it. They're not impressing Jesus. That's part of the reason he responded that way. He didn't say anything about what they did. He was like, oh man, you guys, I was not expecting that you can do such great things. He said, I beheld as Satan fell from heaven. And so he's helping them see, you're not as big a deal as what you think. And if you're gonna place all your value and all your importance into the things that you do, I'm sure they weren't thinking this way, like they did it all. I'm sure they really did think, yeah, but God's using me. But really, in the end, they're still placing their value in the fact that God's using them, like as if they're the ones who made God use them. Are you following me? God is the one who did all of this. Why are they finding value in this? Why are they making themselves think that they're important? If they did anything good, it's because Jesus did it through them. And in the beginning, they knew that. But listen, along the way, we get to where not only do we enjoy what God's doing in our life, but listen, we begin to thrive on what God is doing in us. And we find our value in it. And Jesus says, you're not that impressive. But not only that, but consider the story that Jesus is talking about. When Satan fell from heaven. Satan was more impressive than they were in heaven. You know, heaven is a pretty important place. And Satan being the second in command, Lucifer. Yep. And what happened to Satan? Well, he enjoyed it at first. And then here's what happened. He began to get caught up in what he was doing. He began to place value in what he was able to do. And when you begin to place value in what you're able to do, it is never, ever enough. And he was the highest created being in the universe, but it was still not enough for Satan. And he wanted to be God himself. You see? And when you place your value in what you can accomplish, it is never, ever going to be enough. You will never, ever fully be satisfied. You will never, ever find true value. You're going to always be searching to be better than you are, and you will not be satisfied till you get that. And that is exactly why Satan fell from heaven at all. You see? Yeah. And so, he goes on, verse 19. Now pause. Right now you might be thinking, okay, so I get it, Brother Chad. So does that mean I should do nothing then? I should just do nothing. You know, if here's the other side, right? Well, I mean, if I don't find, if there's no value, if the things that I do don't mean anything, which is not what I said, first of all, and not what Jesus said, but if the things that I do for God, they don't mean anything, then maybe I should just not do anything. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. And he curtails it right here. Look at verse 19. He says, behold, I give unto you power. So he's bringing it up again. Jesus is saying, this is my plan, and I'm giving you power. And I'm going to use you to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. And so Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to use you. And look, I want to use you. And I did use you. And I want to continue using you. And so Jesus is not saying, hey, stop doing all this stuff for me. He's not saying that at all. He's not condemning them for doing all of these things. Here's what he's condemning them for finding value in the fact that they were doing all of these things. But Jesus says, look, it is my plan to use you. God, can I say this? God does want to use you. He does want to use you. He has a plan for your life. He's given you talents and abilities. He's giving you a certain personality. He's giving you all of these things so that you can use them to do powerful things beyond what you thought you could imaginably do. And God wants to use you in a mighty way. And God wanted to use them in a mighty way. And so Jesus says, look, I'm going to do all this. And it's going to be pretty awesome. I mean, treading on scorpions, I don't want to do that, but if I'm able to do it without hurting myself, hey. And he says, power, yeah, over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall hurt you. So God's going to use them. But look in verse 20, notwithstanding. That's a very important word, notwithstanding. That means in spite of this. So in spite of the fact that I want to use you. Well, what do you mean? Well, here's what he says. Notwithstanding in this. In what? In that I'm going to use you in a mighty way. And it's the truth. God wants to use you in a mighty way. But do not rejoice in that. Rejoice not. Don't find your value in that. Don't place your confidence. Don't place your joy. Don't place your encouragement in what God is able to do. Because it will never be enough. And it's not a good motivator. It's not a good teacher. It's not going to be good for you in the long run. Do not find your value in that. Here's what you find your value in. But rather, rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. That's a good thing to be excited about. Yep. That's pretty cool. Your names are written in heaven. You know what heaven is? It's an eternal home where God lives. And your name is there if you're saved. And that means whenever you get to heaven, God has a, first of all, a book that's really cool that's going to be open at the very end. If you look at Revelation 20, the book was open, the book of life, and you're not going to be able to get to heaven at all. But also, there's something else cool that God has prepared a place for you. God's prepared a home for you to live. And if you think this universe is pretty incredible, can't imagine what it's going to look like whenever he gets rid of this and makes something better. And you get to be there. And you're for all eternity. And listen, we just have a tendency to get so obsessed with this life that we forget about that next life. And really, listen, everything we do in this life needs to be because of the next life. And listen, your value is not in what God uses you to do. Your value doesn't change. What you do for God is going to go up and down because of how you are, because of the sin that's in your life. Maybe God just is going to use you in a special way at certain seasons, and that's going to go up and down. And if you place your value in that, it's going to go up and down. You're going to have, your life is going to be a roller coaster, but something that never, ever changes. Listen, from the day you get saved, this one never changes, and is way more important than all of that, is this. Your name is written in heaven. Oh, but I didn't do a good job. Okay, your name is written in heaven. Yeah, but I dropped the ball. Yeah, I know. But your name, hey, your name is written in heaven. Oh man, Brother Chad, you can't imagine all the stuff that I did for God. Yeah, that's cool, but here's what's cooler than that. Your name is written in heaven. And because, listen, if you find your value in the fact that your name is written in heaven, that will motivate you to do great things for God. And I guarantee it that you'll do more for God when you value heaven and eternity more than what you're able to accomplish. Because God will be able to use you in ways that he was not able to before, because you were hindered by your pride, you were hindered by your laziness, you were hindered by all these different things that you couldn't get through because you were valuing what you're able to accomplish. But whenever you value the fact that eternity is real, hey, eternity is real, and you're going to be there. And not only that, but listen, not only that, but eternity is real for you, but it's also real for the lost. Okay? And whenever you value, listen, whenever you make your value the fact that you're going to be in heaven forever, you also see lost people, when they walk in this door, not as an accomplishment that our church has made because we hit 90, but as 20 more people that eternities potentially can change today. You see? Because that's, your value is not that they're here. Your value is that your name is written in heaven, and because that's true, you want their name to be written in heaven. You see? And you won't be discouraged all the time. And people, it's a snowy day, we're down. Oh, man. Okay, but your name is written in heaven. Why are we down? Oh, but I feel like I'm not doing good on my grades. Okay, that's not a good thing. But here's what is cool. Your name is written in heaven, and the owner of heaven can help you with that. But that's not your value. Hey, God can use you to raise your grades. God can use you to be a better witness. God can use you to serve him on the platform. But notwithstanding, this is not where we find our joy. God can use you in the church ministry. God can use you to do all kinds of ministries in this church. I mean, we have a long list. If you want to get involved, come on. We've got things for you to do. And once you do that, you're going to find out. You're going to be able you're going to be involved with a lot of things. Because if we find someone who wants to do something, then we got a place here, we got a place here, we got a place here. And you're going to find yourself in a place where you're doing a lot, and you start feeling, now I'm valuable. No, you are already valuable. Why? Because your name is written in heaven. And now you're being used. But listen, this is what happens to us. We can't live that way. Because it's going to fall, it's going to fail somewhere. And you're not going to meet all your expectations. But here's what never changes. Your name is written in heaven. That's your value. You were valuable well before you started serving in ministry. Can I tell you this? If you place the value on your ministry based upon how good it's doing, I would venture to say that it's less valuable to God if you're making that your value. Are you following me? If you place your value on how good your ministry is doing, then here's what you're not doing. You're not placing your value in what God's doing, and you're not trusting God to work, and there's a little bit of pride involved there, and God's going to probably oppose that a little bit. God might do a couple of things to let the wind out of your sails. You remember how he responded? I watched as Satan fell. And when you start getting puffed up about how good you're doing, God is good at deflating you a little bit. But it's not about that. It's not be up here or down here or up here or down here. Let's just stay right here. Your name is written in heaven. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that our name is written in heaven if we're saved today. Thank you, God, that we don't have to wear the pressure of finding our value or our worth or our importance, our strength, our encouragement in what we feel you're doing. Lord, we know you're working. We know our name is written in heaven, so help us just to find strength in that and continue working and be faithful and do what you called us to do. Lord, I pray that you help each and every one of us that way. Help us to value eternity. Help us to value our eternity and the eternity of those around us, and serve you with confidence, because our name is written in heaven. We love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen.